powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities, on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. If only I could dream we could start again.
I've been really trying. Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR's student executive and fashion expert, Jonathan Q, what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a clothing.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next hour is the White Noise Show. And I say an hour because tonight what we're talking about is a double show. Because of a little technical difficulty last week when my computer decided to upgrade to Windows 10 halfway through the show. Because of that, what we're going to do is we're going to play the entirety of this week's episode, and then we're going to play last week's episode in its entirety as well. And then we're still going to do a bit of music and the White Noise after show as well. So it's going to be a bumper episode. And Connor is desperately trying to show me something. So what is his song? He said, what's the song that Louis Armstrong was famous for? Do we know what it is, or are you just...
No, it's just his photo on Wikipedia is absolutely insane.
Okay, so if you want to check it out, and then email Connor and say if you agree.
I mean, just go to Wikipedia. His profile photo is just like, it's great.
Okay, thanks, Connor. Thanks for that. And there'll be more scintillating conversation with Connor on the White Noise after show. So we're going to jump straight into it tonight. So here we go. Here is this week's episode. This is the White Noise Show. Enjoy.
Warning: the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Baseball Caps, the official headgear of Major League Douchebags. First up tonight, two men meet in a street.
Do I know you?
I don't think so.
Yeah, weren't you and I, like, in the same cult?
No.
The one with the dead babies?
No.
No, it wasn't that. Didn't we meet on holiday?
No.
In Mallorca?
No.
And I sucked you off?
No.
Didn't my wife suck you off?
No.
No, that's right. I know. You from work?
No.
You're the guy who got fired for sniffing women's seats?
Oh, no.
No, you're the guy who caught the guy who's sniffing the women's seats?
No.
Then who are you?
Oh, for goodness sake, don't you remember?
Did you suck me off?
No. We met last week, remember? I mugged you, and I stabbed you a little.
Oh, right! Oh, of course! Oh, how could I forget? So, how are you?
I've never been mugged, but I have been mean mugged by a geezer. That time I was in a Guy Ritchie film. Next up tonight is an interview.
Good evening and welcome to Pointless Patter, the general disinterest show. I'm Patricia Docking, and tonight I'm joined by a renowned pickup artist and author of the new ebook, Drowning in Pussy, Werner Steigler. Good evening, Mr. Steigler.
Good evening.
So, you claim to have a foolproof technique for picking up women.
Yes, you can throw away all those other books, tapes, other outdated forms of information. This ebook will tell you everything you need to know about getting the girl of your dreams.
Really?
It's based on scientific research that has been peer-reviewed, meta-analyzed, and the results are sexier than a woman's soccer team without defenders.
So can you give us some insight into this foolproof strategy?
I will. I just want you to be aware of the objectivity of the results in case you find them conflicting with your base instincts.
Okay.
You see, because what we found was shocking. The way to pick up women is, this still baffles me. The way to pick up women is to be nice to them.
Oh.
Yes, our researchers were stunned. We ran the tests 28 times just to be sure that it wasn't some insane anomaly. But being nice beat out punching your rivals, flexing, following them home, liking every single one of their Facebook photos, claiming that they must hate nice guys, staring at them on the bus, sending a dick pic, and even mailing them your own semen.
Remarkable.
Yes, shocking, but it turns out just being nice is your best bet. No guarantees, of course, she might have standards. And also, not using the phrase pick them up also helps.
I struggle to pluck up the courage to ask out women, so I just pluck my eyebrows instead. Next up tonight, the posh man is buying shit again.
Hello, sir.
What?
Do you happen to know where I can purchase some anabolic steroids?
Oh, keep your voice down, mate. Yeah, I've got some.
Oh, marvellous. Yes, I'll take one, please.
It's not like a protein bar, you know. You gotta buy more than that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take as much as it will take for me to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay, look, I only got, like, enough to make you look like Arnold Palmer. Let me make a run to Cosbro, and I'll hit you up later, eh?
Spiffing. Yeah, this is really going to show that wife of mine.
Oh, is she cheating on you?
Oh, no, she just keeps beating the shit out of me.
That piece was brought to you in part by Cosbro, the wholesalers for everything the bros need, but makes everyone else feel a bit sick. Next up tonight, it's bedtime.
Honey, I've been reading.
Oh, dear.
And I've decided it's time that you accepted me and my womanhood.
I do accept your womanhood, I think.
Then you'll be fine with me not wearing a tampon to bed anymore.
Pardon?
If you're a true feminist, you should accept me and my natural cycle.
Okay, that's fair enough. As long as it's cool with you that I occasionally wet myself.
What?
Well, it's only fair, and if I occasionally get drunk and shit the bed, you're gonna be cool with that too, right?
No, that's totally different.
How? It's all body fluids we'd rather not swim in. Seems fair to me.
Fine, no one will share any fluids.
Good. I mean, it's hard enough as it is sharing a bed at our age.
Yeah, it's not our fault Mom and Dad can't afford separate beds for us.
That took a swift about turn at the end there, and it also turned my stomach. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back!
Oh, Neil! Mom!
What? Who is Neil?
Who are you?
I'm Boris. I rent a Airbnb from Fat Man and Fat Woman.
Oh, sorry.
No problem. We were already done. Boris was just having victory lap.
Neil! Where are you? Oh, maybe he's gone back into the sewer. What's that? Oh, when did I get a phone? Hello?
Where the fuck are you?
Oh, looking for you! I checked the pubs and the bathhouses, even the non-gay ones.
I'm at Pilates with your mum. Meet me there in 10, bring the nicking gear.
What, the normal stuff or the Sunday best?
Not the Sunday best. We only use that when we're robbing the vicar. Right, you bring everything.
Well, I couldn't find the balaclavas or any wire fronts, so I brought some face masks.
These aren't face masks. These are skin peels.
Well, it's a win-win. It disguises our faces and gets rid of my blackheads. What are we nicking anyway?
You know, the famous painting, Mona Lisa.
Oh, is that that woman that gave Bill Clinton a blowjob?
No, it's Monica Lewinsky. No, Mona Lisa was by, Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, the Moaning Lisa, yeah, by Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Well, anyway, currently, the art museum around the corner here, yeah, is displaying the paintbrush da Vinci cleaned his other paintbrushes with when he made it. So, we are going to nick it.
A paintbrush?
Oh, it's got to be worth a fortune.
You said that about all those butt plugs we nicked.
Yeah, and we sold most of them.
Well, only to those dozy mothers we convinced that they were actually just big pacifiers.
Yeah, I still can't look my sister in the eye or a baby.
How are we going to get in?
Well, it's a local museum, so I was just thinking we'll put a brick through the window.
Well, that's one thing I did bring. A window.
What about a brick?
No, I only bring useful stuff.
Well, this rock will do. Okay, as soon as it breaks, you climb in through the broken glass and unlock the front door.
Why me?
I'm throwing the rock, it's sharing the work.
Fair dues.
Oh, shit, an alarm. Oh, fuck it, let's go.
Oh, what about DiCaprio's broom?
Oh, it's not worth prison. We still got the Airbnb money.
Oh, true, but you're going to want to burn those sheets Boris and Vera were using.
I already accounted for that in the budget. Hang on, why is that alarm following us?
Oh, that's because it's my new ringtone.
What?
Hello? Oh, hi, Boris. Yeah, you can totally borrow our toothbrush.
Don't share your toothbrush unless your cellmate threatens you. Next up tonight, someone's returning something.
Hello, welcome to Pungent Perfumes. How can I help you?
Hi there. I'd just like to return this bottle, please.
Receipt?
Yes, here you are.
Yeah, not happening. There, see there? That's a fingerprint on the box. It's unsellable.
What? No, it's in the 14 days. I have the box and the receipt. Just please refund it.
You can't come in here and demand things of me. I've got workers' rights, you know. I fought in Vietnam. Not during the war, but when I was camping there last year, I decked an Aussie. And just because I work in retail doesn't mean you get to take a shit on me.
I just asked for a legitimate refund.
You calling me illegitimate, yeah? Well, yeah, I am a bastard, thank you very much. Dad left me when I was 18, walked out on me when he dropped me off at college.
Can I please speak to a manager?
Why do you hate me? I just want to be understood. Is that too much to ask?
I'll take a store credit.
Somebody please, just love me.
Oh, forget it, it's fine. I'll just spend the next 2 months smelling like a strip club changing room.
Hey, Joey.
What?
Guess what?
What?
Still zero returns. That's why I don't return things that break. I just leave on the shop's doorstep a bag of flaming shit. Next up tonight is an advert.
From the people who brought you Beats by Tina Fey, Pesto Pepto-Bismol, and the best-selling self-help book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From My Extra Rib, comes the new pill that will make your life bearable. It's the This Can't Just Be It pill, a pill designed by total accident that will allow you to buy into your parents' ludicrous religious beliefs. By ingesting just 35 small capsules a day, you can ensure a belief in an afterlife no one has ever seen, an inflated sense of self-worth, and a sudden reduction in the fear of your impending death. Science disproves it, but now it can also improve it, or at least your ability to sort of buy into it. Now you can say amen at Sunday dinner without cringing. You can go to church on Sunday without getting hives. And best of all, you will feel able to finally forgive all those priests who rape children. The This Can't Just Be It pill. Available now at all bad retailers. Warning, does not work on Scientology, as it's not a real religion.
My parents' only religion was football. And, Hare Krishna, they have the worst karaoke nights. Next up tonight, a mum is mad.
I can't believe you.
What?
You never said Happy Mother's Day to me.
I did, on the phone.
But not where it matters.
What?
On Facebook.
Pardon?
Your girlfriend's mom got a throwback photo and a paragraph of stuff nobody else needed to know.
I got you flowers.
Yeah, but zero likes. How do you think that makes me feel?
Well, apparently you're about 12 years old.
Oh, don't you get it? Every mom deserves to have the entire world know how much their kids love her, or it means nothing.
How many likes did she get?
45, a heart, and 2 smileys.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'll try harder next time, I swear. I'll even do a nice Instagram, too. Something sepia.
That'll be nice. I wouldn't ask, but it does make up for you ignoring me for the rest of the year.
I always send my mother a card. Bored cutout of me gives us something to hit. Next up tonight is another scene from the radio play of my childhood, Blackmore, back sweat blisters and bed sores. Oh, why do I have to go in here?
Because everyone has to go to the dentist.
Yeah, not kids.
Yes, you do. Every 6 years, just like adults.
Oh, what? Can I play with the fish?
No, that's tonight's dinner. Go play with the ones in the tank.
No, it says no tapping.
Doesn't say anything about banging.
I don't want to. I hate fish. They're rubbish.
Read a magazine.
I can't read.
Ah, sorry. You get that from your dad's side. He's bone idle as well.
No, I try. It's just all teachers are rubbish.
But everyone else does okay, don't they?
Yeah, what? You joking? Jenny thought that Israel was near Ireland because she thought the worlds were alphabetical.
Oh, Jesus. Maybe I should homeschool you.
No, you can't. I'm well close to getting on with this girl.
Which one?
Nina.
Who's that?
You know, teaches geography.
Richard. Why aren't you going after a girl your own age?
Well, because 12-year-old girls don't know what they're doing. And neither do I, so I need someone older, you know, show me.
Well, that's what sex ed is for.
Yeah, but we got no funding. You know, all we got is like a banana with an imaginary condom. And instead of like the miracle of birth video, we just watch one of my classmates give birth.
Well then, I'm just going to have to give you some pointers.
Master Blackmore.
Oh, yeah, that Christ. Yeah, that's me.
This way.
Okay.
Take a seat, Richard.
Oh, cheers. Do you mind if I smoke?
Yes.
Oh, fine.
So, when were you last here?
I wasn't. First time.
Well, let's take a look. Say,
ah.
Dear Godchild, you have the enamel of a 50-year-old, and that tooth is so dead, it's got a headstone.
Oh, is that bad?
Well, not by British standards.
Oh, what do I have to do?
Nothing. You're fine. Just pretend to floss and I'll see you in another 6 years.
I never did see him again. As it turned out, whilst I was seeing him, my mother was murdering all of his fish. Next up tonight, someone shopping.
Hi there. Like to buy some butt plugs, please?
I beg your pardon?
And some of those clamps doctors and perverts use.
Come again?
Maybe a 12, no, 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 14-inch dildo. Purple, if possible, or black. Fuzzy handcuffs. And a copy of Karma Chameleon, the sex book by Boy George.
What kind of place you think this is, sir?
A sex shop?
No! This is a sex shop!
A what? What's the difference?
We sell relics, holy books, trinkets.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, in that case, I'll have some candle wax, a whip, and some of those holy chains, please.
That's more like it.
And I'll take that phallic-shaped holy rock. It's waterproof, right?
Yes, my wife checked.
One man's holy rock is another man's fake cock. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
All right, there you go. There was part one of the White Noise show tonight. What do you think, Connor? I enjoyed that one.
I think there's some solid writing in that episode.
Yeah. I'm not as. I don't know. I'm more worried about the next one, I think, than that one. But I enjoyed that
one. I think the whole Windows 10 malfunction gave us a little bit of extra perspective in writing and performing this past episode. That wasn't quite there in the episode that's now to come.
I don't know. I think it's funny. All my ideas this week came to me as I was sitting in the doctor's office on Monday morning, completely sober, just sitting there, and I busted out eight ideas.
Nice.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Not the dentist one, though. That was different, wasn't it?
The dentist one? Which...
Richard Blackmore goes to the dentist.
Yeah, I wrote that down when I was in the clinic, yeah.
What?
Crazy. I wasn't in the dentist, though. All right, so we're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back with another episode of the White Noise show like you've just heard. So go do what you got to do. Come back, and we'll be with you very shortly. Enjoy. This is Cecilia de Quingue. Enjoy. Sexy boy, sweet and low. So sweet to the taste, so hard to say no. And devil. Awesome. That was Cecilio de Kingue with Sweet Talking Devil off Anybody Listening Part 2. All right, we're gonna go straight back into it now with some more White Noise. So this is the entirety of last week's episode, which was unfortunately interrupted during our original broadcast. So we're bringing it to you right now. So sit back and enjoy a bit of White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Morningwood Carpenters. We will always be straight with you. First up tonight is an interview with a blues legend.
Good evening. You're listening to the Blues Hour. Dedicated to the musical genre, not the color. My guest tonight is the legendary Smokey Cheese Jefferson. Let's take a listen to a piece of a track from his latest album, Voodoo Lady. Boy.
I lost my pub that inflated my woman. I lost my dollhouse and my easy bake oven. My mother beat me at Uno and chess. Even guess who? That's why I'm a mess, so baby.
Smokey Cheese Jefferson joins me now. Hello, Smokey.
Evening, Derek.
Obviously, you've had a wildly successful career, but what do you say to the critics who are suggesting that, in fact, you don't get the blues at all?
Which critics are saying that?
All of them.
Oh, well, I've seen some shit. I once saw a man remove his thumb and then put it back on.
That is an illusion. Children.
Oh yeah? Well then, how do you explain the fact that he then stole my nose?
Most six-year-olds can explain that, but anyway, how did you end up as a blues musician?
Well, when I was in high school, at about 24, I got held back six times in grade 12 intentionally. It was the only way I could continue my long-term relationship with my English teacher, Mrs. Higgins. You see, I needed to cherish the time we had together as she was retiring soon, and there was no way I was moving to Florida. Once she left, I picked up her late husband's guitar, which had sat in the corner of our little love nest. That's what we called the supply cupboard at school, and it just spilled out of me.
The blues.
No, vomit. But I cleaned that guitar off, I moved to New York, and I learned to play. Not blues, mainly show tunes, but then I realized I can't sing, so I switched to the blues, and pop music was full.
You do have the look, though, for show tunes.
Yeah, I got down to the final three for Annie, but they decided it had been overdone, the whole blackmail Annie.
Yeah, nothing is going to top the version with Ice Cube.
Too right. He sent chills down my spine.
But getting back to you, the name Smokey Cheese. Is that a family name?
No, it was actually given to me by a young fan back in the day. She noticed how my guitar smelled like smoky cheese due to the vomiting incident. Before that, I went by my Christian name, Billy Emmental Brie. No relation of Allison Brie, but I think I'm a distant cousin of the Laughing Cow.
Fascinating stuff. And is there a new album coming out soon?
Well, Voodoo Lady Boy is charting well, so I'm hoping to squeeze out a Christmas album before the end of the year. But it's called Happy Holidays, so I don't piss off the Jews.
How respectful of you.
Well, I'm a man of the people. I've had many lovers. I doubt any of them will ever truly replace my sweet Mrs. Higgins. God rest her soul. But I'll keep having sex with as many people as possible, just in case.
It's your duty as a musician.
But it's very hard to write a sad blues when you're having this much sex.
Maybe I should try writing some.
I think I'd be good at writing the blues. I vomit a lot too. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Are you decent? I'm coming in.
No, I'm obscene.
Oh, Jesus, Neil! At this time of day?
What? What's wrong with a bit of morning yoga?
Oh, I just think it's a bit too early for downward dong.
It's dog, Carl.
Oh, maybe if you're wearing clothes.
Shut up, Carl. You're ruining my chakras.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Ah, it's nothing rude. She just means you suck the life out of the room.
Oh, well, you're still bloody naked.
Oh, loosen up, Carl.
Oh, can you at least not do it on the kitchen table?
Fine, but we're still having sex there.
Oh, fine. It's not like we have any food to eat there anyway.
Oh, calm down. I've got a plan. We are going cattle rustling.
What?
We're going to nick a cow.
For what?
To eat.
How do you eat a cow?
Are you serious?
I know we got a bread maker, but I ain't seen a cow maker.
I think they just call it a barbecue, or like an oven if you fancy.
Oh, right. So what's cow meat like?
A steak.
Oh, right. So it's like a steak?
No, it's a fucking steak, you moron. Cows produce steak, ribs, burgers, meatballs, meatloaf, roast, sausages at a push.
Oh, wow. Aren't they clever? Is it really going to fit in the van?
Yeah, it'll be tight, but worst comes to worst, you can walk home.
Can we name it?
No.
Why?
Because we're going to kill it.
What? Why?
Because that's the whole fucking point. So we can eat it, remember?
I thought the cow was going to make us a nice steak.
Just shut up, please. Shut up.
Oh, Neil, you're rubbish at explaining these plans.
We're here. Right, get out.
Neil, what are we doing at a farm?
This is where cows live.
Oh, well, they must be loaded. Oh, I think I see one.
That's a pig.
Ah, it's pink.
That's a pig.
Well, then what have I been eating?
Dog food, mainly. Sometimes cat, if I'm feeling rich. Oh, there's an actual cow, though, over there by that tree.
Oh, no, that's a tractor.
Then why did that tractor just take a shit?
Maybe it runs on biofuel.
Just open the van doors. I'm going to herd it in.
Oh, it's not going to fit.
I will. Just, I'm going to make it take a run at it, you know. Should be able to wedge her in. Come on, Daisy. Go on. Yeah, he's as dumb as he looks.
You speak cow?
Nah, it's just what every conscious creature is wondering. Come on, in the van now. Go on. Oh, she's stuck. All right, push.
She's stuck.
Come on, in you go.
Oh, it's no use, Neil.
But we can't leave like this. She's half wedged. I mean, her legs are still dragging on the floor. What if we cut her up?
Oh, in my Nissan?
Well, it's that or drag a cow halfway home while its legs are slowly sanded off.
What about the farmer?
We just gotta be quick and quiet. Here's my Swedish army knife.
Don't you mean Swiss?
Nah, it's better. It's made of wood that I put together all myself, so you know it's reliable. Anyway, go inside the van and gently slit her throat.
I would do a lot for you, Neil, but I will not decapitate a cow on my back seats.
I never said decapitate it. It's not fucking Game of Thrones. Just a little nick on the jugular.
Oh, all right. Give it here. It's okay, Daisy. I'm just going to give you a little operation. Oh, who's a good girl? All right, just so still. Ah! She's got me, the bitch!
Oh, no, that's a female dog, Carl.
Ah, it's like being in a vice, except the vice hates me.
Oh, she'll get bored in a minute.
Oh, fuck off! Ah! Oh, I did it!
What did you do?
I headbutted it.
Jesus, Carl, what are you going to do next? Glass it?
Oi, What the bloody hell's going on?
Shit, we gotta go.
Oh, what are we gonna do?
I suggest you try and cover your ears. Sorry, Daisy. Life would be much simpler if we were all vegetarian. But then we'd also be all a little bit more like Hitler. And some people don't need any more help with that. Trump. Next up tonight, people are in bed.
How was your day, darling?
Oh, you know, the usual. Assholes, dicks and twats all fucking each other. But that's what I get for working in finance. How about you?
Oh, it was fine. Just me and the cat. The cat hates me. So I read a magazine and had a wank.
And you still had time to make dinner?
Somehow, I fit it all in.
As long as you washed your hands.
Oh, definitely. They were covered in lasagna.
So, are you gonna get another job?
Well, there isn't many positions available right now.
Maybe you could broaden your options.
You're not surely suggesting that I not be a lion tamer?
Well, it's probably a hard one to break into.
Of course it is. Everyone wants to tame lions, but it's my dream.
Only since you watched The Lion King.
I was at an impressionable age.
It was last week.
45 is an impressionable age.
Why can't you pick something more realistic? Like your brother.
Oh, here we go again. Why can I be more like Golden Boy Greg, the fucking sword swallower?
Well, I just think if you got a nice, steady paying sword swallowing job, you could at least be a little happy.
All I've ever wanted to do was to put my head in a lion since last week. And you want me to give it all up and become some run-of-the-mill knife swallower?
I know it's not ideal.
Do you know how high the suicide rate is among sword swallowers?
No.
It's surprisingly high, and they leave very few notes.
But think of the kids. We need money for Jenny's new kidney.
Fine. I'll swallow my pride and your fucking swords.
Thank you, Alan.
I better not be sharing a cubicle.
Danger is relative. One man's violent beast is another man's dream girl. Next up tonight, the posh man is buying something again.
Excuse me, darling. I was wondering if you're offering services of the erotic kind.
What are you on about?
I'm hoping to purchase a lady of the night under a rental agreement. Allow me to violate her in return for reasonable payment in the form of British pounds sterling.
Look, mate, the fags are hooking round the corner. You only get pussy down here.
Well, that's what I desire.
Then why didn't you fucking say? I'm the mistress round here. I can get you any bird you like, and I can also get you women if that's more your thing.
Well, what sorts do you have?
All sorts. Blondes, brunettes, redheads, blackheads, you know, the darkies. No, that came out wrong.
Have you got anything that's been aged well?
I'm not a wine dealer, mate. Most of these girls have a very quick expiry date.
Oh, fair point. I'll take something fresh and preferably local.
How about her? She's got most of her teeth.
Ah, splendid, yes, I like her eyes. How did she get them so lovely and vacant? Do you take Visa?
No, on the Amex and Discovery card.
Oh, darn, I lent my wife the Amex. Let me just call her and get her to drop it off here. She won't mind. She's just round the corner scoring some PCP for the long weekend. And we're going to Martha's Vineyard with the in-laws. And you just can't turn up empty-handed.
I don't pay for sex, unless you count paying for my hand's manicure. Next up tonight, someone's setting up a party.
That looks great, actually.
Why, thank you.
But do you think we could...
Yeah?
Could we put my name on it?
Your name?
Yeah, I think it'll look more professional.
On the menu?
Yeah, as the chef, host, and master of the universe.
Chef?
Yeah, Chef Oscar Penne Largo. Just right there.
Why?
Well, Oscar because that's my name, and Penne Largo in Spanish means large penis.
But you're not the chef.
I'm flattered that was your only disagreement.
One problem at a time. Oscar, the meal is being catered.
Come on, I think it'll be fun.
This night does not need to be any more memorable.
Well, I still want my name on it.
No.
Well, how about my first name?
No!
Just a nickname?
I'm not putting anything of yours on the menu.
If you don't put my name on the menu, then I'm not having sex with you tonight.
Oh, for God's sake, fine. There.
Beautiful.
Ugh, why do you even care? It's not like anyone actually reads the menu at an orgy.
Next up tonight is a scene from my childhood, taken from the poorly received stage play, Blackmore, Back Hair, Back Braces and Back Sweat. Today, I'm in a supermarket with me mum.
Richard, get out the dairy fridge.
Oh, calm down. It's just soothing my chicken pox. Oh, the well itchy.
Are you probably had an allergic reaction to them peanuts?
Why'd you give me peanuts?
It's not my fault all the vending machine had with Snickers. I was trying to get you breakfast like a good mother.
But why did we spend 3 hours in that mechanic shop?
I was just helping the men with their accounts.
Oh, they must be well dumb. I mean, that one guy sounded like he was losing it at the end.
Yeah, well, now we can afford groceries. So what do you want for your tea?
How about bangers and mash?
Oh, no, I've had enough banging. How about some toad in the hole?
Nah, fucking ain't French food. Ugh. Well, let's have a quiche.
Oh, no, I can't be arsed with that. Something simple.
Steak?
I'm not made of money, Richard.
Then you pick.
We can have baked potatoes.
Oh, what is the point? I might as well kill myself.
Oh, calm down. We can have some cheese in it.
Oh, great. I won't kill myself now. Mum's buying cheese.
Don't be so dramatic, Richard.
Why? Am I embarrassing you, Mum? Am I making you uncomfortable?
Don't make a scene.
Or what? You're going to buy even worse food?
Richard, do I have to give you a spanking?
You wouldn't dare.
Try me.
Oh, go on then. Do your worst.
Fine.
What? No. Please, no. Oh, God.
Say, you're a naughty boy.
Yeah, I'm a naughty boy.
That's better. Now give Mummy a kiss and a cuddle with less gropy.
Oh, sorry.
Good. Now I'm being the mother I should be.
Well, at least let me cook the potatoes. They take like an hour.
Yeah, good idea. I'll be blathered by then.
And she was. But she wasn't a messy drunk. She never missed the toilet. Shame she couldn't have missed that elementary school while she was driving. God rest her soul. And the class of 2B. Next up tonight is an advert.
New from the people who brought you Viagra. Viagra for babies. And Painless Puffs, the ergonomic crack pipe. And of course, Prozac, the pills that make you pro Zac Efron, comes the latest in pharmaceutical advancements. We present Eye Care, the only pill that will make you give a shit about other people. Using our patented formula, which we bought off a bloke in the pub, we turn your disinterest into the veneer of compassionate empathy. Your girlfriend's cat died, pop in an eye care. Your sister had another baby, pop in an eye care. Your mother just tried talking to you, pop in an eye care. Turn your apathy into simulated sympathy. They won't notice, you won't care, but it will sure as shit seem like it. Warning, side effects may include boredom, beards, bees, bee beards, belching, bacne, bathing, basting, begging, blogging, bleaching, bad breath, bacon breath, bacon breaths, and anal leakage.
They had me right up until anal leakage. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
Yeah. written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
Alright, there you go. Another episode of the White Noise Show.
Another complete episode.
Another complete episode. That was a back-to-back doubleheader. And yeah. I mean, there definitely had its moments, the second one. But
yeah, no, I did. It was good. I think it was good. Very interesting to compare them, yeah, back-to-back, and actually sort of understand. Because, well, I mean, you listen to one week, and then it's a week, and then you've forgotten a lot of what it was by the time you hear the next one. Yeah, so to hear them back-to-back actually is very interesting for comparison.
You see the sort of continuation of different tropes and stuff.
Like. Yeah, it really sort of shows the cliches in your writing.
No, it's called... If you watch any good sketch show, they do the same sort of setting and they try different things with it. That's called working with the thing.
It's called having a style and playing to your strengths. Yeah.
So go fuck yourself.
Joke's on you, I already did.
Okie dokie. All right, so yeah, we're going to play some music now and do the White Noise after show, which means we're going to be having some bit of chat. Topics this week we're probably going to talk about... dating in the post-Tinder era, I think is what
someone's
we're going to
labeled
with.
Us as apparently in a post-Tinder era. I never realized we were in a Tinder era.
We're sort of coining that right now, here and then, just for the sake
Simon's
of this
trying
discussion.
To make it a thing, and we're going to go.
Well, I think there's an, you know, we'll get into it, and then we'll explain what we're going on about.
Look, to be legit though, you need a BuzzFeed article. That's what you need to be legit these days.
Coming up, 5 reasons we're in the post-Tinder era.
That's more like it. Get on the article now.
All right, first up on the music is going to be Traces.
Thank you.
want you to feel it all. The breath deep in my lungs. In the heat of this passion, it almost feels cold. In the black of your eyes, I can see the whole world, and it scares me, it scares me, that I can feel so completely, and then feel nothing at all. You left with all the others.
All right, there you go. That was Zarathustra with Feel Nothing off Uncertain Assertions.
Very kind of daughtery, kind of a Florence and the Machine sort of feel to that.
Yeah, I like it. How it's a bit rawer, though, because it doesn't have a backing band.
No, yeah, it's very raw. I'd agree with that.
I always prefer music in that sort of, before it feels like someone's overproduced it. Like that's, I believe it's actually a self-publicized album, self-released album. So yeah, it has that beautiful rawness to it that makes it so listenable. And before that, we did have Traces with Tanglin, which is off their self-titled album Traces. Another great little, I guess you call it an EP. It's only four tracks.
Is the definition of an EP. Yeah,
is it
probably? Right. As in, it's like not more than like, yeah, it's like less than like.
Well, yeah, because it's not a long play.
It's an extended play, which means it's a single and a bit more.
Anyway, I remember when singles had like four tracks on them.
Yeah, yeah, is it two on each side?
Yeah, yeah. Like Oasis and all that. Because that was when they were like trying to make you buy singles.
Yeah.
And people still did for some reason. I mean,
I would.
I stopped buying them when I was about 10. I realized they were the stupidest thing in the world. I was like, I'll just wait and buy the album.
Yeah, then you have to wait to actually listen to the song. But it's pretty good. You want to listen to it now.
Yeah, but they usually come out at the same time.
I mean, if they come out at the same time, then yeah, fair enough. But some, like, some singles come out like a year before the album's due.
Yeah, I guess occasionally. Occasionally they do.
No, I find that's like predominantly so.
You know what,
least the first and second single. After the third and fourth is from the album, like after release. But
What I used to do was, though, I'd just record it off the radio with a tape.
That's innovative. I like that.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time as a kid. Yeah. Anyway.
You really had no life.
I liked, like, it was funny, I used to, like, pretend DJ when I was a kid, where I'd, like, in my room, sit there, and, like, play music, and then, like, between tracks.
Did you used to, like mime scratch the bed, isn't that it?
No, because I wanted to be a DJ, like, Radio 1 DJ, not like a, you know, like, I don't know, dance, house, drummer, like, you know, proper DJ scratch. I don't scratch, no.
DJ Simon
Wilton. I wanted to be more like John Peel than Tiesto, you know. But anyway, let's go on to our discussion tonight. So our first topic is, are we living, I've phrased it as, are we living in a post-Tinder era? So what I mean by that is that dating... The complexion of dating in my eyes has changed quite a lot in the last few years, and really Tinder has made online dating the norm now. I think it has put it over the 50% threshold, especially in the millennial sort of category. Anybody under 30, it is now the norm for a lot of people who are single. Or, well, it's I don't think it's everybody, but I think that's a fairly typical thing. And I think if you're not doing that, your options now for dating have become very
Grindr.
Very limited, because of also, at least in this city, the sort of the social graces that are expected of people have forced that as well in the last few years. Because, you know, like, a lot of people post this kind of stuff all the time on Facebook, and it's a fair point, and I can't argue against it that well, is that you shouldn't really bother women in public if they're just on the bus, they got their headphones on or whatever. Like, no matter who you are, it's not your right to go and talk to them if they don't want to talk or something like that. A lot of people suggest that sort of
thing. You make an interesting point in that
thing. So you're like, how do I meet a girl if it's not through work or school? And work's such a complicated thing, because, of course, if you work with someone, dating them is very complicated a lot of the time. So really, like,
I mean, dating anyone can be complicated a lot of times.
Yeah, but, like, you know, it makes it difficult. So, yeah, then it becomes, well, where do you meet a person then? Besides, you know, I don't know. You argued that this isn't as difficult as I'm suggesting. So,
I think you make an interesting point. And that right at the end there, in that the rest of it is bollocks. in that, in certain ways, the advent of Tinder, and I mean, not, and Tinder's been preceded by other online dating sites now.
But the penetration is not as deep.
Yeah, right? But the idea of having a regulated or a special place on the internet, but sort of also in daily life, where you try to date, you set yourself up for this as if this is the place you go to when you're ready and you want to inquire and make inquiries about potential partners and you want to begin to get to know someone. You're right, if you're on the bus, you're in public, you can very well easily go up to someone and say, oh, hi, I find you really enchanting. I'd love to get to know you. And then people would probably be like, oh, hello, wasn't looking for that, wasn't expecting that. Thank you, but I'm going to walk this way now. Because for some reason that now, perhaps this is the way we live, or perhaps because of certain connotations of sort of perhaps aggressiveness or just sort of objectification, out of vogue.
What it is we almost have to work with the lowest sort of common denominator, which is that if we can't trust sort of the least people to, you know, who would do it the worst, we have to kind of go by their standard. If we can't trust them to do it, then really, even though some of the others maybe would be able to handle that situation better, it's just better if we blanket say, no, you know, nobody should really be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, I don't know, maybe it is a shame. But at the same time, like, I'm not that sort of person that would really go up, even if it was a little bit more okay. I would find that quite difficult still. I'm not an Italian builder. Like, I don't usually just walk
weren't
up to women.
Weren't you in that porno?
Don't you just, what are you talking? You told me you don't watch porn. Are you confessing to now watching porn?
Yeah, it was really quite soft. Softcore.
Just softcore Italian.
Yeah,
like their ice cream.
The
but
clothes were mainly still on.
Oh, okay. Fair dues. So in
I'm thinking about the Italian job
with Michael Caine. That isn't that. That does have one sexy scene in it, in like the very start.
You were in it, weren't you?
Just the remake was in it. That really terrible. No, I'm not. Why am I admitting to being in that film? No. But yeah. Let's try to get back to our point.
So you're a porn star and you're on Tinder. That's where I'm at.
Neither of those are true. Neither of those are true.
So you want to be a porn star, but you're not on Tinder.
Can we try and get back to the
well, please lead on. I'm trying to.
It's horrible. It's painful. Okay. So what the point is that, you know, it's difficult. Like, even if that problem wasn't, if it was socially acceptable to talk to women on the bus in a very direct manner, I don't think I'd still do it though. And that's the thing. Like, so it's weird. Like, there isn't a lot of like good places to meet sort of like-minded.
Yeah,
single.
I mean,
sorry,
dating online. I mean, in some ways, and certainly Tinder, perhaps not necessarily other.
But yeah, it just feels
sites.
Like I don't know why. Like, it creeps me
it's
out.
It's
the online dating thing. It feels
in
desperate.
In many ways, actually, it's very. I'm still going to argue that you can meet people casually through friends at school. You've sort of said at school doesn't quite after school, because at school you get to know people in class, and therefore like you're going to meet people. But after university, whatever, where you're actually in the the workplace where you shouldn't be dating colleagues, whatever. Like, I still think you can meet people through mutual acquaintances and bits and pieces and stuff. Like,
yeah.
More indirect.
But that takes a fair bit of luck.
I don't know. I mean, luck is only...
to meet someone...
The fortune of opportunity that you make.
Yeah, but, like, to meet someone that, like, then is like, you know, for you to just happen to have a mutual acquaintance.
Yeah, but, I mean, it also depends. I mean, I personally think that relationships aren't necessarily just like, oh, hey, love first sight. They're like, they take work. I mean, you can meet someone...
Yeah, but it has to be someone that matches with you. It has to be someone that like you have a lot in common with. That whole thing about opposites attract is bollocks. That's how you end up fighting all the time. Like, you need someone that you enjoy doing the same things day to day. Otherwise, you drive each other insane if you always want to do different things.
Yeah, but I mean, it's easy these days to find commonalities. I mean, I guess you could probably say it's easy to find differences now that there's so much diversity in interest nowadays. You can do anything, therefore people are going to enjoy different things. But I think it's easy to get at least some basic things. I mean, we're arguing a very subjective, kind of very vague kind of line here. But the point, though, that online dating and Tinder in particular, I guess Grindr as well, allows you a certain public space at which you sort of say, hello, yes, I'm willing to engage in tentative inquiries about dating. So you put yourself in that zone for a reason, and everything that happens to and from you is at your own control. It's very like arm's length. If someone chats to you and you don't want to, because whatever reason they're being a bit aggressive, or they don't seem quite your type, and you just want to finish the conversation without you being awkward, you can go and block them. You can stop responding, and that's the end of that. That's the end of that conversation. So it really allows you to get into a relationship at your own pace as well, which I think is interesting. I think that, and then I think there are merits to that as well. This allows you to conduct the sort of courtship ritual at your own pace. To be fair, people might be interested in pursuing different paces, because someone might find this person wonderfully enchanting and attractive and great. Other person might take a bit of getting used to this other person
to
worship their full beauty.
Yeah. Okay, that's obvious. Yeah.
I was talking about you.
Yeah, okay, thanks. thought you were just like explaining the variety of like types of people there are, so that was it seemed a bit...
Were you listening to a single word I said?
Yeah, it just seemed really sort of...
too intelligent for
pointless.
You.
Pointless. Just it seemed pointless to me. but I don't know. I was just thinking though that I don't know what
it's
it is. There's still something about online dating to me that just feels
wrong.
Yeah, just wrong.
Okay, well, because
it
isn't it's personal,
is
it? You're having a conversation with what appears with an avatar, with some mystical being who isn't tangible. Once you meet, then you have something, you have a bit of chemistry or something to go on. But until that stage, it's Yeah, it's like the lottery. Like, it's something like a crystal ball. Like, yeah, until you actually physically and tangibly find this person. Yeah, and there are connections you can make in person that are impossible to achieve over the internet or over apps. Even if you see photos and you exchange videos. And even, I mean, some people say long-distance relationships are difficult because even Skype and FaceTime, these kinds of applications don't make up for the physical reality of the relationship. Yeah. So, I don't think it's perfect by any means, but certainly, as I said, it does allow you to conduct the courtship ritual sort of at your own pace and then get to that physical stage, hopefully, if you're open to potential partners.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one to suggest that other people shouldn't do it. That's one thing to make clear. Like, you know, I
don't know. I got the impression you were trying to be a bit authoritarian here, and you thought all of these actually banned.
Because I never am like that about anything. In that, you know, I might, you know, anything that is taste, then it, you know, that's up to you, really. Like, unless you are harming someone else, and you are bringing any sort of harm onto other people, then it can be questioned. But if you aren't actually harming anybody else, I don't see a lot of problems with most things. Because, I mean, it's funny because that kind of leads into our next conversation, which was going to be about steroids. And if steroids are a drug, then should they be made legal? If anybody who thinks that other drugs should be legal and then rehabilitation.
Yeah, I mean, they are a drug, aren't they? I mean, they're very comparable. They
boost your
natural body's kind of rhythm and alter the complexion of your character.
And if taken with some, guidance, can not be fatal. Like, you know, can be taken safely.
You can OD on protein powder is what you're trying to say.
You know, I mean, look at Stallone's still going. I mean, how old is he now? He's got to be
He's a good routine, doesn't he?
Arnie, he's still doing all right. He must have taken a fair bit. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things, right? I mean, it seems like the war on drugs and all that hasn't really worked out. The fact that they're taboo, and of course they're appealing. Some people obviously they want the sensation of what these various drugs give them. So it's not as if they're gonna stop using them. You could argue obviously that making them legal or not making them at least difficult to get makes it more common, makes the uses more common, but. In the end, you won't solve the supplement issue by banning them.
No, I mean, you can put money into education about them. If you tax them, then any money made off them could be about,
tax their vanity.
At least educate people on what they're doing to themselves.
It should be a big muscle tax. I'd enforce that. If your biceps are greater than, I don't know what, 3 inches in diameter, then you owe an extra percent income tax.
Well, you could put money towards it. This is serious now. You could put money towards bigorexia, education as well, which is educating men about a real problem, which is men who basically have the opposite of anorexia, where they never think they're big enough, so they're constantly taking more roids and doing more training to the point where they do themselves real harm.
Yeah.
Or they end up using what's that awful stuff they inject in themselves?
Heroin.
Synthol. You inject synthol into your muscles, and they used to use it to sort of patch up little indents for competitions for Mr. Universe. They take a little synthol and
Botox,
just sort of smooth out a muscle area. And then some guys decided that they could just inject a shitload into their arms and make one muscle massive. But because the other muscles around your area it looks ridiculous because you have this one big muscle and then they get super infected, you end up with scar tissue. Jeez. And then they just, you end up having to have part of your bicep removed, and this is all because they have this complex about parts of their body. If you taxed anabolic steroids, you could put money into treating all these problems, which aren't going to go away by just keeping it illegal.
Or we could put money into more children's stories with good morals, you shouldn't be vain, don't worry about it. You know, believe in your character.
Ah,
not
okay.
How you look.
Let's talk about this though, because you say we shouldn't be vain, but I
you have evidence to the contrary. Is it sexy hair?
What I would say is that maybe we can't get away from it because I took the social psych class, and one of the things we talked about was that under testing of implicit sort of behaviors on humans, what they found was that people when are attracted to people, it is, you know, in terms of like what it is they find it, you know, what it is about a partner they find desirable.
Mm-hmm.
People always say it's not looks, it's other things, and if
it's their sense of humor,
it,
their personality,
especially women are
the fact
you
that
know,
they're always there for me,
will never, you know, on
make
a,
me good
yeah,
make
they'll,
good,
they'll
yeah.
claim all these things
just
are more
DIY.
Important, but under
great
testing,
sex.
Yeah, under testing though, it is in fact looks is the number one thing that people are motivated by in picking partners.
Motivated to begin with, I presume.
Well. At least that's what sways their decisions. That's their decision. If they pick a partner, which one would they choose? That's the one they pick, at least on that day. You know,
yeah.
So in that first opportunity to choose between people, they go on looks before anything else. And so it's interesting, even though you're like, you know, hopefully there are people. I mean, because that's the thing. I know what you're trying to get at, and I kind of agree with you.
I mean, did I not get at it?
In the, yeah, like, even though someone, you're right, you're like, I've definitely met people who've been attractive, but then you've got to know them and you've thought, never in no chance am
yeah.
I ever going to date that person. So yeah, you can
so how does that react to that? So saying, so if you're on a bus and you're looking for a relationship, you're looking for like a time, whatever, you know, and you cast your eye out and you're looking around, your eye is probably going to fall and you'll be most interested in someone who looks attractive. How does that then reflect on the person who's doing the looking, not the one who's being looked at? Does that mean that they have a sense of, they recognize this manner to sort of arbitrarily select potential partners based on looks, and they go, oh, well, I should also up my game in that regard?
No, I don't know. I still don't think looking for people on the bus is a good idea. Didn't really to begin with. So
all the famous world leaders have met their partners on the bus.
That's how Hillary and Bill met. You know,
yeah,
you know, definitely.
in Arkansas.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess maybe work is really like probably your best bet in terms of at least you kind of do similar things.
And it's interesting though, because these days as well, I mean, now that there's the ability to travel and the continual and continuous proliferation of multinational corporations and the improvements in women's rights and equality rights in that regard mean that also it's very easy to have a job in one place and then very suddenly have a job somewhere totally different. So that even if you can begin a relationship with someone at work, very soon, I mean, for better or for worse, that person or you or yourself could be miles away, could be absolutely continents away. So any sense of permanency in like, oh, you're going to mess up the office-based
yeah.
relationship. I mean, yes, maybe, but also, I mean, like, yeah, this relationship might not last, or else both parties might move on to different jobs and different companies, and that's not an issue anymore, one might think. So it's a weird one.
Okay, well, we'll leave it on that note that we can always look forward to being split up with our
You know
where
you should
partners.
Actually meet people, though?
Where?
YouTube comment section.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think we're going to leave it there. We will not be back next week because I'm away. We'll be back the week after. Anything else to say, Connor, before we go tonight?
Thanks for tuning in.
All right, this is Knife Pleats with Things I Hold.
Bye.
See you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.